This is number 5. We turn our attention now from management communication to what has been identified as corporate communication. We, of course, have looked at this field of management communication, which, and when we think about management communication, we find that it tends to focus on specific skills and frameworks that managers can use individually to succeed, actually, in any organization. Now, the term corporate communication, however, refers to how the organization itself communicates. In most companies today, corporate communication is a distinct functional area to the marketing, finance, production, accounting, and human resource functions of that particular organization. In this part of our discussion, we will look at the changing environment for business and its influence on the development of a corporate communication function. We also want to notice the rise of what is often identified as public relations firms, as well as the specific sub-functions that make up the core of a modern communication department in a corporate setting. Although earlier in this century, corporations had no specific strategy for dealing with communication as a functional area, they often had to respond to external and internal constituencies, whether they wanted to or not. As the environment for business became more hostile, laws also began to change, forcing companies to communicate in new and certainly much more public ways. According to 3 different polls, which, while close to 3/4 of the population agree in the late 1960s that business balanced profit in the public interest, only 15% would agree with the same statement by the mid-70s. This radical shift in attitudes created a dramatic need for corporate communication to develop as a functional area in business. Because of the changing environment, the responses to constituencies became frequent enough that someone who was not responsible for another function, such as marketing or administration, had to take control of certain aspects of communication. This function was almost always called either public relations, also known as PR, or public affairs. Today, typically, it included a component that would attempt to allow the organization to interact with the press. More often than not, however, the function in its emerging days really existed to keep the press away from the inner workings of the corporation. Thus, the term FLAC came into existence as a way to describe what PR people were actually doing. They were shielding top managers from bullets, as it were, thrown at them from outside the boundaries of the corporation. Since the press was used to this sort of relationship, the general public was less interested in the inner workings of the business than they are today. The FLAC area of public relations lasted for many years. As companies needed to add other communication activities to the list, public relations personnel were the obvious choice. For example, in the 1960s, it was not unusual to find public relations officials handling speech writing and annual reports and other various publications, such as the company newspaper. Given that the majority of work in this area involved dealing with the press, television was really not a factor until the early 1970s. Former journalists were typically hired to handle this job. Well, they could, after all, write quickly and coherently, which were the most important skills necessary for a discipline revolving around the writing of press releases and speeches, which was their basic responsibility. These journalists-turned-flacks brought the first real enterprise to the area of communication within corporations. Most other managers in large companies, until recently, came from very traditional business-oriented backgrounds, such as engineering, accounting, finance, production, or at best sales or marketing. Their understanding of how to communicate depending on abilities that they might have gained by chance or through excellent graduate or secondary school training rather than through years of experience. Given their more quantitative orientations, these old-style managers welcomed a professional communicator who could take the heat off of them and certainly produce guidance based on something other than seat-of-the-pants reasoning. At the same time these developments were taking place within corporations, another group of communication professionals was working independently to handle the growing need for communication advice. The legends of various public relations leaders during this period of time began to grow and are still known today in various journalistic circles. They became and were the founders and leaders of PR firms and were often hired by corporations to deal with inadequacies which they saw in their own public relations or their own public affairs departments. As a result of all of this, schools of communication sprang up to train these consultants who would work in these various firms. For many years, the PR firms in the early days dominated the communication field. They essentially operated as outsourced communication departments for many organizations that could not afford their own or that needed some extra help for special situations such as a crisis or even promotional affairs. We find that even today, these firms provide some of the best advice available on a number of issues related to corporate communication. But for the most part, they are unable to handle the day-to-day activities required for the smooth flow of communication from organizations to constituencies served by the organization. Thus, as problems in the 1970s developed outside of companies, requiring more than simple internal PR functions supplemented by an outside consultant from a PR firm, the roots of the new corporate communication function started to take hold. At the same time, this new functional area started to look more like other functional areas within the corporate structure. These changes, of course, created the need for business school-trained professionals who could understand and converse with other managers in their language. It also created a much more complex functional area with many different sub-functions beside just media relations. Perhaps the best way to discuss the different sub-functions of the corporate communication discipline is to look at the different parts of a modern corporate communication function. The areas under consideration are image and identity, corporate advertising, media relations, financial communication, employee relations, community relations, corporate philanthropy, government relations, and also crisis management and communication. Certainly, this is not an all-encompassing list of activities, but I do believe it represents some of the most important and substantial subfunctions within large corporations today. Image is a reflection of the organization's reality. It is the corporation as seen through the eyes of its constituents. Thus, an organization can have different images with different constituencies. For example, forest product companies may have very negative images among environmental activists, but a very positive image among employees and firms engaged in this endeavor and those who use their products. Corporate communication departments conduct research. This would be similar to marketing research for products and services. They conduct research to understand the different constituency needs and attitudes. And then, with this as a foundation of understanding, they try to work on better communication with those constituencies to enhance, to improve, and to promote their image in the most possible light that can be. But then there's not only image, there's also identity. Identity, on the other hand, is the visual manifestation of the company's image as seen in the corporate logo. It's stationery, its uniforms, its building, its brochure, and certainly its public advertising. Identity consulting firms work with organizations to create those kind of items, to create logos and other manifestations of this corporate identity. These firms increasingly rely on business schools to provide personnel for this growing field. Image and identity are often reflected in a company's corporate advertising. Corporate advertising differs from product advertising or marketing communication. Instead of trying to sell a company's product or service, corporate advertising tries to sell the company itself, usually to a completely different constituency than customers. For example, companies with a diverse product range might try to run umbrella ads that show potential stockholders what the company is all about. Oil companies might try to influence public opinion about their environmental friendliness. And chemical companies might try to show themselves as good places to work for young people who are just now entering the job market with an exciting future. Advocacy programs are a subset of corporate advertising and represent the organization's attempt to influence public opinion on an important issue related to the firm's business. Most famous examples are Mobil Oil's ads, which run on op-ed pages and cover a broad range of topics important to the corporation, and certainly Philip Morris advertising to defend itself against those who would attack the tobacco industry. The professionals in a corporate communication department typically develop the strategy and shape the message of these departments. They also act as a liaison with advertising agencies. Unlike the paid advertising, the media relations subfunction allows an organization to shape its image through third parties. This is really the last vestige of the old PR department, and it's a mainstay of any corporate communication function alive and well today. Most of the personnel for corporate communication will typically be found within this subfunction, and the person in charge of the department as a whole must be able and capable of dealing with the media as a spokesperson, in addition to other top managers for that firm. Media relations specialists today go far beyond their predecessors in managing this subfunction. They must be more adept at developing background material on writers and products, more adept at training managers for interviews based on their best guesses of what the story is all about, and certainly more adept at handling the actual relationship with the reporters and editors themselves. Given the typically adversarial relationship between business and the media, this subfunction is often one of the most crucial to senior managers hoping to present a positive image to shareholders and to other critical constituents. Also, we're looking, moving on in this discussion and thinking about financial communicators. They're also sometimes called investors or shareholder relations. This subfunction has emerged as one of the fastest growing subsets of the corporate communication function and an area of intense interest at all companies. Traditionally, this subfunction has been handled by the finance or the treasury department of the corporation, but the focus today has moved away from just the numbers to the way the numbers are actually communicated to various constituencies served, touched by the corporation. This subfunction deals with securities analysts on both the buy and the sell sides who are often also direct sources for the financial media, which this subfunction cultivates in conjunction with experts from the media relations area. Financial communication also involves direct contact with investors, both large and small. In addition, every public firm must produce financial statements and annual reports, which are produced by financial communication experts. Financial communicators especially must have a broad understanding of business in general and finance and accounting in particular. Training in these subjects is most easily found today within various business schools. As companies become more focused on retaining happy workforces with changing values and different demographics, they have necessarily had to think more seriously about how to communicate with employees. This is often referred to as internal communication. I'm going to spend more time on that a little later in our discussion. Companies today must explain complicated health and benefit packages, changes in the law that affect employees, and changes in the marketplace that might affect the company and the future of the company. And increasingly, they must boost the morale of employees after downsizing or reengineering. Now, while many of these activities can be handled through personnel departments, the communication itself and the strategy for communicating these ideas should come from communication experts in the corporate communication field. For example, most of your Fortune 500 companies now use corporate communication departments rather than human resource departments to deal with these specific issues. Like financial communication, this area, the area of employee relations, this area is growing at a rapid rate in most organizational structures and certainly requires a deeper understanding of the business as a whole than it did in the past. Many companies have a separate sub-function outside of the corporate communication function to deal with areas such as community relations and corporate philanthropy. Community relations is often housed in the human resource department for historical reasons, while corporate philanthropy is often set up as a separate foundation from the organization itself, especially in larger companies. But the need for a more strategic focus and the difficulties in dealing with growing concerns in communities about the role of the corporation has created the need for corporate communication departments to handle both community relations and corporate philanthropy. In addition, given the limited resources available today in communities and not-for-profit organizations, most companies are much more strategic in their focus on philanthropy. Many try to balance the need to help the less fortunate people in community in which they do business with the demands of their shareholders. And then another sub-function could certainly revolve around governmental relations. This sub-function, often called by the more global name of public affairs, is more important in some industries than in others, but virtually every company can benefit by having its ties to legislatures on both a local and national level. Many companies have established offices in Washington, D.C. to find out what is going on in government that might have an influence or an effect on their company, their business, might influence the direction that they are going to head in the months and years ahead. Because of its importance in heavily regulated industries such as utilities, government relations are often dealt with at the industry level in addition to individual company efforts. In these industries, companies and lobbyist groups spend far more time trying to influence legislation than might have an effect on the industry or firm that one would find in less heavily regulated industries. Perhaps a word about crisis communication. While not specifically a separate function, responses to potential crisis needs to be planned and responses to potential crisis needs to be coordinated by the corporate communication function. Usually, a broad group of managers from throughout the organization is included in all planning for crisis. But actual execution of a crisis communication plan is specified as the specific responsibility of the corporate communication department. Responsibilities for planning would include assessing of risk, setting communication objectives for potential crisis, assigning teams to each crisis, planning for centralization, deciding what to include in a formal plan, and so forth. In terms of actual execution of crisis communication plan, communicators are responsible for taking control, gathering information, creating a centralized crisis management center, doing the actual communication, and making plans to avoid other crises.